Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings, everybody, on a Friday morning. We come to you from a rather chilly morning here. I call it the West. Technically, a lot of other people have other Wests in mind, but we are West. We are definitely Western, cowboy-driven, and much more. But we are also Lord-driven. And so as we begin this morning, I noticed that my title page for this said patients, like patients of a hospital, and down below I have patients as having patients. That's what happens when you write a lot of script and you write a lot of descriptions. Some of these things get missed. I'll have to fix that like I have to in a lot of other things that happen from time to time. But the bottom line of it is there is a message in the patience of the saints. There's also patience of the saints. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of patients that are saints, especially in the blood carnage going around the world and the persecution of Christians. And we do a show on that. And we do that Wednesdays. It's our advocacy show. So don't forget to go by the websites warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Now, this series should be coming to a close. This is about blood guilt. From Cain to Armageddon, this is part 6. And hopefully we can get through this. And we do have a couple of articles. Christian Hope makes us unashamed and offended, the world and the faith of Christ. I have lots and lots of articles on there in depth. So go to danaglennsmith.com or warn-usa.com. A reminder again that on Dana Glenn Smith, you'll see the Watchman Institute on Dana Glenn Smith. The Watchman Institute is one of our original ministries that we started with. Actually, Warn Radio and Warn USA all came out of our Watchman Institute, which we started many, many years ago. And that was an outcrop about the same time, a little bit before that, of Wings Ministries that we had for quite a long time. But today, the Watchman Institute is a place for biblical research and getting the word out. And so today, this being Friday, we do this show a little early for Shabbat. And, you know, we had been asked by one of our listeners to do the Saturday show. And this one actually is the one designed to replace that one, because I got into deeper studies with this one. And the fact that we wanted to get it ready for Shabbat, rather than doing it, you know, when people may not hear it, we want to do it ahead of time, get it ready for everybody. So we get this up fairly early in all of our things, because we do have quite a number of places that it has to appear on. And Blog Talk Radio is just one of them. And there again, you can go to Warn USA, warn-usa.com, or danaglennsmith.com. And we do have the ability for you to listen to the shows right from a player on the front of the websites. But on Warn USA, you can actually download it. You can download it on the other one, but we have a lot more available on Warn USA. We're actually working to move forward with all of our websites, and Dana Glenn Smith has a new website on it. So check them all out. At any rate, visit us on our various platforms we're on, which is a lot. You can find it WatchmanIS216. That's on Twitter and Facebook. Warren Radio, all one word. That's on Instagram and Twitter. On LinkedIn, it's Watchman. We're also on Tumblr. And I just read where Tumblr was recently sold. We've been on Tumblr for a long time, but Tumblr is one of those things that for us, it's just, you know, nothing that, you know, I make sure if we can to get stuff posted over there. But I don't spend any amount of time over there. I don't spend much time on any of the social feeds. I don't care for social media. And as one of our former hosts used to say, that it is antisocial social media. And he's right, it is antisocial. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But, you know, personally, you know, we can get the word around the world, but the internet and the social media has actually been one of the worst things that's ever happened to technology and to the people, because it is that very thing that's fostered so much selfishness, so much separation and division. And of course, the whole system itself is amoral. So if you're immoral, it won't care. Just like if you're righteous, it don't care. It only puts up and does what man has, you know, programmed it to do. And so with that, we are going to move ahead. But I was thinking of doing this one thing, but I'm gonna wait. This is part six, as I said before, and you know, there's one thing that, you know, over the years. And I have a set of commentaries. I don't use them, but I've got them stored. And it's one of those commentaries that dates way back. And it's an expensive commentary, very big. And it really has roots in early Great Britain. And at the time when it was published, and it has places on it where ministers actually have their own little commentaries. It's called the Pulpit Commentary. And people that know about commentaries and research and study into biblical avenues would understand it. I bought it when I was in college. And at the time, they had, when discussing Babylon, many of the preachers that were preaching at that time felt that the UK was Babylon at the time. And of course, at the time, 1800s, it was still pretty powerful. Now we fast forward to America, and there's a lot of people that feel like America is Babylon. But the fact of the matter is, as much as we try to make it, Babylon is not America, actually. But, and of course, within the confines of Revelation, it's described as a great city. Now, if we go back to Babylon of old, that's exactly what it was. It was a city-state. And so if we try to fit Babylon into America or the UK, that'd be pretty hard, because they're not city-states. They're nations. Nevertheless, the spirit of Babylon, the whore, is also said to have gotten the nations drunk on her wine of immoral ways. And so we can surely say that the UK and America and many others have thoroughly influenced by the whore, and America has taken on a lot of the characteristics, so has the UK. And the same wine that she's seen flaunting in Revelation is the same wine the nations have drank, and each nation has a different type of an abomination. Some of the abominations in America and the UK you wouldn't find in some of the Muslim nations, but you would find other abominations there. One of the biggest is blood guilt, and that is killing Christians and feeling legitimately able to do that, or killing other religious people that they don't like. And of course, at the top of the list, we find Iran, we find Pakistan. There's India is also in that, but that's Hindu. You know, there's a lot of these nations that are like that. And so when we talk about blood guilt is the death of the innocent. It's just out and out cold-blooded murder and, you know, murder one. Nevertheless, blood guilt also encompasses the fact that if you're in your house and someone comes in, breaks in and tries to kill you and you defend yourself and you push them away and they fall down and hit their head and someone dies, that's not blood guilt. And there is a remedy for that in the Old Testament when the children of Israel had, and those were the cities of refuge. If someone died, you know, in such a manner that, you know, there was no hate in your heart, you didn't want to do it, you were just defending yourself, you would flee to the city of refuge. Now, see, today our city of refuge is the Lord. And within that, we can find forgiveness. Even if we do out-and-out murder someone, you can still find forgiveness. However, when you get to the point like some in ISIS did, and they murdered and raped and pillaged over and over and over and thoroughly, you know, seared their conscience, the ability of these kind of people to actually repent is zero to none. Nevertheless, you know, some of them can. It's just like in the old days, many people used to talk about whether or not Hitler could have been saved. No, Hitler could not have been saved because of the blood that was on his hands. He would have never repented. And that's where a lot of this comes in at. And of course, in Revelation 14, let's start at verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters. Now see, right now, the nations of men have the ability to worship any kind of God they want. Now that's why scripture says that the gods of the nations are idols. And it was very clear from the beginning that the God of Israel was the true and the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the nations were serviced by demons and idols and false gods, principalities and powers of darkness. And this is, even today, this is the case. There is only one true and living God, and he's going to hold people accountable, and there's going to come a time when the knowledge of the Lord is going to cover the earth. And that's whether you like it or not. That's whether you believe in him or not. That, you know, whether you believe in some other God or you don't believe in him at all, it has no bearing on it whatsoever, because when he does come and when you stand before him, you will believe and you will realize you've been servicing and serving the wrong God. Now, see, in Babylon doesn't care. Babylon is a typical power of the earth, except it is above and beyond any other nation. And it got that way because it has some of the top sciences. It has the science of the earth. It has technology. It has everything that you could want. And of course, that does describe America. It describes the UK. It describes a number of others. But there are some nations that have risen above the other. And you could look at America today and say, surely she is Babylon. Well, remember, in Revelation, it's not described as Babylon. It's described as Mystery Babylon. It is a mystery because although it has Babylon and Babylon features and compares to the same rebellious people that were even in the Tower of Babel, it is far more than that. It has risen to the challenge. It has come forward in these ages and a lot more mysterious, a lot more evil, a lot more wicked, and appeals to the earth because of its ability to offer people things that they like. And that is the same way the devil works in its temptation. So in verse 7 of that says, saying with a loud voice, and this is the angel that's flying in the midst of heaven, and he's saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth to sea and the fountains of the waters. And there followed, now of course John is seeing this, and another, you know, question would be, is there actually going to be an angel that's going to fly through the through our atmosphere and tell everybody to fear God and give glory to him? Well, there already has been, and it's been going on for years and years and years and years, and that is the satellites. And these satellites, although they're not a real angel, do declare the same thing. So we could see a type within that. Now, whether or not there's really going to be an angel, and in the time of the judgment of Revelation, it could very well be that one of these beings, these angels, could fly exactly through heaven and say that. But, you know, most of the people would look at this as a type and go the other way, you know. And, of course, indeed, when TBN and CBN, a lot of the other Christian networks got satellites, that's exactly what they compared it to. And of course, in verse 8, it says, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city. Now, when we look at this, this is in the spirit. And I would say the same thing for those that are talking about that, the other angel, about fearing God and give glory to him. He's letting everybody know in heaven and all the heavenly hosts what is going on. And God is going to go ahead and work in the earth. And so this other angel is saying Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she made all nations to drink the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And it's a wine of the wrath because she has caused the nation to fall into all types of evil and fornication. And that brings the wrath of God because men are doing those things which are not acceptable unto God. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image, receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into his cup of indignation. And a lot of this has a real fiery, vivid language. And, you know, there is a cup of his indignation that represents what God is going to pour out upon the earth. Like you would pour liquid out of a cup, like you would pour a cup of coffee and drink out of it, but only this is going to be poured. And it's going to be poured because the nations have repeatedly been warned to turn to the Lord. And, of course, we know from Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2 that the nations are going to reject the love of the truth, which is the gospel, that God so loved, that Christ loved, that he came and he died for our sins. They're going to reject that. And, of course, he's going to send them a delusion in the form of, as he is called in 2 Thessalonians, the son of perdition, which is a name given to him because of what he's going to do, which is lead people into destruction because they have rejected what God has done and won't believe him. And so this God is pouring this stuff out. And it says those who, you know, take his, worship him and his image and receive his mark. they are going to suffer this wrath, this indignation. And so the main portion of this is going to come in what we call the wrath of God tribulation. This is after people have already taken the mark. This is also after what we would call the seals, where it talks about those who were martyred for their death. There's going to come a time when there will be no more martyrs. There won't be anybody left to martyr. Everybody will have taken the beast, taken the mark, and there's others who will have, the seal upon their forehead, and the rest of them will be dead. So there's not much of a difference here. And of course, whenever we get into a lot of this, you know, I always tell people, you know, we think we know everything. I mean, when it comes to prophecy and comes to those, who have doctorates in prophecy and biblical studies, we think we pretty much can figure out everything exactly. Now, see, we can pretty much figure out what the words mean, and we can look at it and attempt to think. But there are things that whenever you get it all lined up, like many do in prophecy, and that, in fact, you're not right. In fact, you are wrong in how you have put it together. So although we know some of the highlights, we don't know all of every bit of the details that fill in, because prophecy looks across the time span of human history, and there's high peaks and low peaks, and God reveals to you that which he chooses, and there's other things that you don't know that happen, and eventually you do find out. So at any rate, and the smoke of their torment, this is those who have taken the mark, and they're going to be tormented, not only when he pours out his wrath, but of course in heaven. They're not going to be in heaven. They're going to be in another place. And so the smoke of the torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, who receives the mark of his name. Now see, for many people who say, well, we're going to go to hell, and and this literally came from a particular news story that I saw of a young man who said that he, and I can't remember the exact words, he'd rather, rule in hell than rule in heaven, something to that effect. And many people get this idea that hell is always going to exist. Hell is not going to always exist. Hell is a place right now where God keeps people. But after the great white throne judgment, and after the fulfillment of all things, so the restoration of the heavens and the earth, that's what God is going to do. All of earth will be restored to its original intent, and we will be on the earth. That'll be our home. So at any rate, it's after that. Probably a little before that, or maybe at the same time, that, you know, we talk about death and hell. They'll be cast into the lake of fire. And it's in that lake of fire where you're going to be, buddy. So if you have somebody that is like that, and there's a lot of them out there, because we've had generations of kids that have been taught amoral, immoral, anti-God things by liberal teachers in our school systems in America. And I've dealt with them on a personal basis. And many of them think that it's okay. I can rule in hell with Satan and everything will be fine. No, it's not going to be fine, because hell ain't going to be there, and neither will Satan. It's going into the lake of fire. Everything is. So there's no way in hell you're going to want to have that. And that is a delusion that you need to shake. And we've got lots of children, lots of kids, and these are the ones that I've been concerned about for years and years, that they believe that because they've never got any real solid Christian teaching, no adult that really knew the Lord to teach them, today we've got an easy peasy Christianity and one that depends upon many of the things of the flesh to keep the churches going. Whereas if you go across the seas and find a lot of the churches that exist, they depend on the power of God to deliver them. And literally, we've reported on the miracles that goes on. So in verse 12, here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them. And of course, there... this is the segment that tells them, you know, there are going to be those that are going to die in the Lord. And that can be from a natural death, and it can be from a martyr's death. Now, see, the thing here is we're looking at this portion where the faith and the patience of the saints are supposed to be in gear here. And there will be those that are saints that will be here until a particular time. Now, of course, the church has taught that many of them, not all of them, that there's going to be a pre-trib rapture, or there's pre, mid, and post. But the bottom line of it is, in my Revelation series, I actually go through there and I tell you the most likely place that I see personally where an event could be where God gathers them. He's going to gather the saints. There's no doubt about that. At what point is the question? Nevertheless, the fact that we find the patience of the saints in the context with Babylon and the judgment of it tells us a lot. And that is that there are going to be saints around, and sometime, at one time or another, they're not going to be here. And so then if you go to verse 14 of that same chapter, it says, and I looked, behold, white cloud, and upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Now this is the harvest of good and evil, of the sour grapes which are wicked, and of the sweet grapes which have come to fullness. And these are the believers. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in the sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the earth, vine of the earth, for grapes are fully ripe. And he thrust in the sickle on the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast in the great winepress of the vine of the wrath of God. Now, this is the wicked. This is the Antichrist, if you want to call him that. This is the beast and his false prophet. This is all the Gentile nations that follow him, the wicked. And, of course, when we talk about this great day, when we talk about them going into the Valley of Armageddon, not all the people of the earth go to Armageddon. This is just just the armies that are going to be there. And so they're the ones that are killed immediately when the Lord comes back. So there will be, and even scripture tells us that, if we get into the last chapter of Zechariah, which talks about the keeping of tabernacles and the nations coming up, scripture does tell us that there's going to be people left in the nations. So not everybody on earth is going to be killed, but by the time the end comes, a lot of them would have been killed. But this specifically is the part where God pours out this particular cup of his indignation upon the wicked, and the angel is taking this. And this is, when we look at how the events are carried out in heaven symbolically like this. They're done, and then they're done in the earth. And that's why when we speak the word goes out, not just as mere words, but as seed. spiritual seed. That's why the Lord himself says, my words are spirit and they are life. There is a spirit realm that is very much alive. And it can be said that the reality of the spirit realm is actually, in fact, more real than that of the physical world that you see. Because the physical world is subject to that spiritual world, very much so. And, of course, the people that are atheists, you know, and others don't see that, but it's there, even though they can't see it. Just because you can't see something doesn't mean it's not there. And wine press was trodden without the city, and the blood came out of the wine press, even of the horses brought us by the space of 1,600 furlongs. And, of course, here again, we do find the blood. And when you get into Revelation, you will find the blood. There is the judgment of the blood. Because there has been dead. There has been, the earth has sealed up the dead until the time of the end. And then it will release the dead to where anybody that's been murdered innocently will be judged for. And of course, when we look at the day of vengeance, and we're doing Isaiah in our Thursday show, Battle Lines. But this is Isaiah 63, 1 through 6. It says, who is he that comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Now we see this as the Lord. Wherefore art thou red in thine appearance, and thy garments like him that treads in the wine fat. Now, of course, you have to understand, this is exactly what this is when it says this. When God judges the wicked in Revelation, and Isaiah here is talking about this as well. He says it's the same event, and it's also understanding that when God judges a nation and people, he is righteous for doing that because he has given them the chance to repent. He has moved to try to get them to see the error of their ways, and they don't, and they go on. And, of course, some of those that reject the love of the truth, like Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2, are going to face judgment because of it. And just like God had Isaiah prophesy, you know, that he would choose their delusions and bring their own fears upon them, because when he called, they didn't answer. And we have a lot of nations today that don't answer the Lord God. And they're going to be cast into this cup. And that's including all those nations and peoples that think that they're going to rule the earth and their God is coming. Their God isn't coming. The Lord, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, the greater son of David, the warrior king, is coming. The Almighty, as he calls himself in Revelation 1. Well, at any rate, here it said, and he is speaking here in Isaiah, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I'll tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled on my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. So the day of vengeance, and that is when the punishment upon those, and this is where they have, and God is quite clear that he has called everybody down around Jerusalem. And this is really in the Valley of Megiddo, and Armageddon is exactly what we're talking about. It's hard to imagine how many people can be down there, but they're going to be. And we also know the armies of the East are moving. And, of course, when all these armies begin to move, there's going to be murder and there's going to be killing and slaughtering along the way. And when China moves, and it's not just China, but it's the armies of the East. You can think of the sun here. That's where we see the sun rising. That's also where the Son of God is coming out of the East. That's where even today, you know, many people that... even ancient peoples will always have the door of their tent or their house pointed to the east. This is why in Jerusalem, a lot of the graves are pointed to the east, because this is where the Lord is coming from. Yeast is really one of those things that's kind of amazing how it all works among people. For the day of his vengeance, he says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And of course, this is exactly when this particular blood is going to be paid for. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered if there was none to uphold. Therefore, my own arm brought salvation into me, and my fury upheld me. And I will tread down the people in my anger and make them drunk in my fury, and I'll bring down their strength to the earth. Now, see, we can fool ourselves today. That's why fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Because it's that place where we understand that there's somebody that's in control that demands of us certain things. Now, Wolford, which is a writer and, in theology and a lot of other things, and writes in prophecy, he says, even as the saints are worthy of rest and reward, so the wicked are worthy of divine chastening and judgment. The bloodletting during the great tribulation as saints are slaughtered by the thousands is without parallel in the history of the human race. This was written by Steve Gregg, who quotes Wolford in the Four Views, a parallel commentary. And so, when we look at this, it's hard to imagine what is really going to happen when you have an earth. I mean, look at ISIS that went through the Middle East. Nobody held them accountable, even to this day. The ones that fought, they're either dead or alive, and if they're alive, they're kind of hidden. And there's a lot of them that are trying to make a resurgence back. There's no repentance. There's nothing. And there's tens of millions of radical Muslims who are trying to bring in their own Mahdi or their own caliphate to rule the world. And they've been convinced that this is the thing to do, but instead they're going to find judgment. You can't tell them anything. You can't stop them. And there's no nation to stop them. Even the nations of men try to appease them. And so, if we don't have that kind of bloodshed, we have the bloodshed where people are murdered every day in their cities and on the streets or even in their houses, you know. And so there's a lot of blood being shed, and it goes clear back to Cain and Abel. And there's a propensity of man to take the life of another person. And that's the way it is. It was in the beginning with Cain and Abel. That same sin is still here. And the second angel, this is Revelation 16, this is verse 3, poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Now, when I tell you about blood guilt, it's important that you understand this. We find blood guilt from the beginning of the Bible to the very end of this Bible. We find it during the time that Yahshua was on this earth. We find it involved in the very aspect of his death. We find it everywhere, and we find it being judged. And this judges the blood that's been shed. Now, we can go back. Now, if you remember the Lord over Jerusalem, he talked about, for it shall be quiet of this generation. He goes clear back to the prophets and forward would be required of that generation where he was at. And, of course, we know that General Titus came in and conquered Jerusalem. Destroyed the temple, and Josephus writes that conservatively, I think it was a million Jews were slaughtered and killed in that. Now, of course, you know what happened to the Roman Empire eventually. It fell. So even the blood that they shed to make up for the other blood that had been shed they themselves fell. Now, when we get to the very end here, when we talk about the sea becoming the blood of the dead men. Now, around here, we have various watches in our lakes around here because it's been so hot. And there's a red algae that is very dangerous, but there's also a green algae that takes over, and you can't eat the fish out of it. You're supposed to wash it off. You're not even supposed to be in the water. And several of our lakes around here have got that. Now, see, this is when the waters become blood. Now, see, this is where we have a problem here. See, there's people in the scientific community and others, and even when they look at the time when Moses made the Nile as blood, and then, of course, if we remember, the magicians of Pharaoh was able to duplicate the very same miracle, turning the water into blood, or so it seemed. Now, see, what we have is a couple of different things here with that. Number one is those magicians could have used a trick just to turn the water to red, whereas Moses, it was a miracle, and the waters became literally blood. And when we look at this, this is where you have to understand, well, is it a natural thing that goes wrong that God causes, like a red algae or something that causes everything to die? Or is it literally the fact that the sea became blood? Now, see, during this time period, being a literalist and what the Bible says, I believe what it says, that an angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became the blood of a dead man, and every living soul in the sea died. Why? Because we are in a special time period where this is the wrath of God. And the other one poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. Now, can they become clean again? Yes, they can. How do they do that? Well, I believe that there will be those who are sealed, will have, that will be in the earth, will be believers, and they'll be sealed, protected from these things, while there will be others in heaven. But if you drink the blood, you're going to die. Now, see, there's a reason for this. It's very type-worthy because these people have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and they were there. And if you remember the Roman Colosseum and how many Christians, and it just wasn't Christians, but there was many people that were killed. It was a regular event where people would stand in the, you know, like we go to football games, they would go and they would watch Christians getting stomped, getting eaten alive, being slaughtered. Now, see, this is the shedding of innocent blood. And when a nation becomes that bloody, when a nation becomes that way, it deserves to be destroyed. And Rome was destroyed. They had a lot of blood on there. They had a lot of sins. Nevertheless, it was precisely because of the Roman Empire and their influence that the marked the timing of the Lord when he came. Because Rome had pretty much made a lot of the travel in the Roman Empire fairly safe. The spread of the gospel was easier because of a common language, because of the Roman Empire. And the Roman armies were able to keep pretty good control of the towns for peace sake, so it allowed for the coming of the Messiah and the introduction of the gospel. So there's a lot of reasons when we look at when it says in scripture, in the fullness of time, Rome was one of the reasons in the fullness of time. So we are now also in the fullness of times. This is of the end times. This is of the time when the fullness of the blood has come to its hilt, and it's time to judge the earth because they're worthy, and they will be fed blood. And for all of those who think everything's going to be fine and dandy randy, it's not going to be fine and dandy. And there's no randy to it. There's no nothing. There's no freedom. And so you're going to be free to die. And Revelation 17, let's look at verses 5 and 6. And upon her forehead, this is, of course, the harlot, And she's riding on a scarlet covered beast, colored beast, full of names of blasphemy. Now, of course, scarlet colored, we see this as red. And she's arrayed in purple and scarlet. Again, we think of scarlet as a red. And, of course, with gold and precious stones, which depicts royalty. But she's royal in her filthiness and abominations. And upon her forehead was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now, this is the one behind, even to this day, the martyrs of Jesus Christ today. Now, she's there. It's a spirit. It's a whore. And this particular spirit is there, been there since the beginning. And she was the one responsible for the killing of martyrs from time immemorial. Now in Revelation, we get a picture of her. And she's responsible for the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. She's responsible for it. But this judgment will fall upon all the earth. Now, Mystery Babylon, then, if we go back to Revelation 18 and verse 24, and it's talking of Mystery Babylon, in her was found the blood of prophets, of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. Now, see, this one just doesn't say the fact of the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, but it's included the prophets, all the prophets, both old and new prophets, and of saints, of all the saints, and of those, and even of those that were slain on the earth. These are people, everybody else. So, God holds the blood of all people as being separate unto him, because he created the blood. It was the blood that atonement was made, but blood is also the thing that keeps men and women alive. And if you have a disease of the blood, like leukemia of the bone and the blood, and chances of dying are pretty good. It's the blood. People spend a lot of money, to have a machine that works like the liver does when their liver doesn't work, in order to cleanse the blood in order to stay alive. So that's life in the blood. Now, it's literally life in the blood, because Christ became the Lamb. He had to be a perfect sacrifice to die on the cross in his shed blood, because he was the immortal Son of God, yet Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It was prophesied of him that he would go and die, and he did, and he shed his blood. Now, see, it had redemptive qualities, and that's what God said, that it would be through the blood that atonement was made. Well, the devil steps on that, spits on that. That's why some of the strongest spirits of darkness are spirits of blood and sex. And that's why you have vampirism, vampire movies, and a lot of other things. Violence, bloodshed, and sex. These are all powerful spirits. And what they're doing is defiling the original purpose of the blood by combining them with those things which are defiling, which those things are an abomination. And this is all the work of the devil. This is a work of the minions that he has in place. And so upon this whore is found the blood of the prophets and saints of all that were slain upon the earth. Now, you remember when John first seen this woman, he was just astonished, because he kept looking at her. And the angel wanted to know why do you keep looking at her? For the angel, that woman was wicked in everything she was. He knew what it was. John looked at her, and he knew what the angel said, but she was so unlike anything he had ever seen, he couldn't stop looking at her. And this is what sin is. This is what the devil can make it. This is what these spirits, they can appear as an angel of light, but they're darkness. And they bring secret things to light, secret things that appeal to a carnality and the flesh, and send you into the pit of hell. And this is how the devil works. This is why people get hooked on various kinds of drugs. I came out of the 60s. I know very well what those were like. I spent my time down on the beaches. I had friends. I had a hippie van. But I was not like the rest of them. I had a lot of friends there, and we would go there. But see, the thing of it is that there were a lot of people that went overboard. And I finally walked away from it and told them, you know, I said, you know, these drugs are not good for you. They're, matter of fact, they're too good for you. They will take you to places, never bring you back. And they did for many people. Art Linkletter's, I think it was his daughter, died because of drugs. And you can see the damages that even to this day because of the more powerful drugs they do. And this is how the devil works. Now, see, remember, this whore has made the earth drunk, which is, we think that, equate that with wine. But see, people are not enamored because of alcohol or wine or drugs here. They're enamored because of the sin and the corruption which they delight in. And, of course, it doesn't mean that they don't have drugs. But we find the word pharmakia, which is where we get our word pharmacy, is actually connected to a lot of this and is connected to the end times and to Mystery Babylon. So you're not going to get away from the drugs. You're not going to get away from the fact that, you know, she has a cup and it's likened unto wine because men give unto wine. But at any rate, let's look at Revelation 19:2. This is speaking of the Lord's judgment. It says, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. That sums it up. And this is really where we're looking at. When we talk about the apocalypse and the unveiling, it's not about the judgments, even though we're talking judgment here. It's about the fact that there is coming a kingdom of righteousness, of which our Lord is the Lord of that kingdom. And he will put down all enemies, and darkness will be removed. And so this is really the kingdom that we're looking at. And it speaks of that unveiling. It speaks of why these things have to happen. And of course, we find the prophecies linked to it all the way from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And this is the hope of which we have. And then, of course, if we get back, you know, the original story of Cain and Abel goes back to Genesis 4. And, you know, Cain and Abel both brought an offering to the Lord, and Cain's offering did not get any respect from the Lord. And so Cain was mad, and the Lord said it to Cain, why are you wroth? Why are you mad? Why is your countenance fallen? He said, if you do well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if you do not well, sin lies at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now, see, he's saying, if you do good, I will accept you. But, you know, but if not, sin is going to be at the door. And that's exactly what happened. Because in the next verse, verse 8, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And it says here, and this is what we're getting at, And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. Now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood in thy hand. Now see, this is the thing, that the blood is in the earth. And there's coming a time when the earth is going to release that blood. And so we do have a few other things within this study. And this has to do with getting through some of the tribulation. And we will be talking about, in context of this, the judgment on the nations, the earth discloses the blood, the earth shall reveal her dead. Now that's what we're coming to. And then that will sum up where we're at. And see, at the same place in this, and we'll cover this next time. And so don't forget that the Lord says to Cain that the voice of your brother's blood cries unto me from the ground, just like we see the saints that are under the throne in Revelation that cry unto the Lord and say, how long will you wait before you avenge our death? And they had every right to say so. And the Lord tells them to rest for a while. And so there's coming a time when this blood, everything, every secret murder, everything men have tried to hide regarding the blood and shedding of innocent blood is going to be found out. Even for the Nazis who shed a lot of Jews' blood and didn't tell any about it, even for ISIS who slaughtered a lot of people and dug graves in the earth, every bit, every drop of that blood, every person whose blood was spilled will be accounted for on the day of judgment. And every ISIS soldier, every Nazi, every whoever that did that, that tried to hide their murders in the earth, every person that killed someone and threw, you know, tried to dig a grave in the forest somewhere to hide what they had done, everything will be uncovered on that day. Everything, every drop, every iota of what they have done will be found out. There will be nothing hid. And so when we talk about the importance of this, it may be in the future, but it is coming. And so in the earth, someone kills someone, the authorities find out. And so what do? You know, they find them guilty or not guilty in a court of law. And then if they're guilty, they end up being sent to prison. So it's important to understand these things, and we are coming to an end. But this next section is we're going to be wrapping up the blood. Then we're going to be talking about what do we do during this and some of the other things. It's just a summary into what we've been talking about, but it does have new scriptures to it. So, you know, maybe we can get through it next time. That would put it in seven parts. But this has been Blood Guilt, Cain to Armageddon. This is part six, the patience of the saints. And we are required to have patience even to this day about everything that's happened. And this is what God expects of us as his children. So with that, I want to remind you a couple of things. We're going to do this and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
And with that, don't forget to visit our websites, as I said there. And we'll see you again next week. We won't be here. Our shows will resume the following week. So check out our websites. We'll keep you posted with everything. Until next time, folks, this is the Watchman in for Tower. Shalom, everybody. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.